the love chapter. I just love the love chapter. Now, where do we usually hear the love chapter read? Weddings. And yes, indeed. No. It was not written by Paul to the church in Corinth for them to have weddings with it. He was not writing about a wedding that was getting ready to take place there in Corinth, and he wrote the 13th chapter thinking it would be about love and how you're supposed to have love in a marriage. No, he wrote this chapter to sum up and to address the issues that he's been talking about in the prior chapter. After all, remember, there were no chapters and verses in Paul's letters. The chapter and verse divisions came later. So chapter 13 is continuing on in the thread of thought that was begun back in the prior chapter about the various gifts of the Spirit that make up the life of the church. Let's pick it up, therefore, back in chapter 12 and see what it is he's talking about. Verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assurance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles?" These are rhetorical questions. The answer to each one of them is no. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all possess the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak in tongues? No. Don't tell that to the assemblies of God. I'm sorry, let me keep going. Do all interpret? No. These are all special gifts that are shared amongst the family of faith, that are shared amongst the body of Christ. What's important is they all are gathered together to make a whole, to make a whole community of belief, to make a whole body. You can't lack any of them. You must have them all in the life of the church. But not any one person has them all. Notice what he then says, verse 31. "But strive for the greater gifts." Well, these were the great gifts. No. "Strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way." A still more, an even more excellent way. Strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. And this excellent way is now described to us as the way of love. And it is indeed one of the most amazing passages to be found in Scripture. "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, if I speak with human languages or heavenly languages, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith," I mean, this ought to be pretty good. I mean, if you have great prophetic abilities, and if you have amazing understanding and wisdom of all the mysteries of the ages, and if you have all faith so as to remove mountains, that's a lot of faith, friends. That's a lot of knowledge. That's a lot of power. "But do not have love, I am nothing." Ooh. Wow. Okay. Well, that means that it's not about intellectual attainment. Maybe it is all about good works then. "If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, if I make myself an offering to God. But I do not have love. I gain nothing. Ooh. Well, I thought it was about faith. I thought it was about good works. I thought salvation, being a Christian, was about having faith and doing good works and all that kind of stuff. What you believe, being able to recite the doctrines of the church, the apostles and the Nicene Creed, the articles of religion, the EUB Confession of Faith. I thought it was the important stuff was the things that we believed. I thought it was salvation by good doctrine, right? We went to seminary for that. We went to school for that. Right? Thank you. I mean, I had to sit through theology classes, systematic theology classes. I did a master's and a doctorate in all of this stuff. But without love, it's nothing. It's meaningless. It's powerless for us. So what is love? What is love? Love is patient. No. We're not starting out the gate. We got a problem. Love is patient. Love is patient. No, I quit and go home right now. Love is patient. Love is kind. That's an iteration of a concept meaning kindred. I don't like my kindred. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Oh, well, right there, right there, we got a problem. Brian, we better not go to an annual conference this year. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Well, we got a real problem. It's not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude or irritable or resentful. I'm getting resent this list. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude or irritable or resentful. Well, all right. Stay away from annual and general conference. I think we'll be okay, right? Does not insist on its own way. Uh-oh, we better stay away from general conference, shouldn't we? And stay out of politics while you're at it. Wyman, are you here? Love you. Does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It doesn't get a kick out of doing the wrong thing, but rejoices in the truth. Ah, it's a wonderful list. Most of it's negative. Most of it makes me squirm. Ooh. Because I know I'm envious and boastful and arrogant and rude and irritable and resentful all the time. And by cracky, I want my own way. Going to general conference is an experience in all of these things. And we got to do that in May. Ooh, maybe I'll think twice about going, huh? All right, let's go back and take a look at what love is, since we just looked at this long list of what love is not. Love is patient, love is kind. Okay, well, I had problems with those too, didn't I? Patience and kindness. What's the rest? Love bears all things. I'm not sure I want to bear everything. I mean, you know, come on. I don't want to carry everything. There's some things I don't want to carry around. Love bears all things, believes, that's exercises faith, towards all the things of God. Well, you know, there were some questions when the bishop was asking us questions when we were preparing to be ordained. Brian, you remember this more recently than I do. When he was asking questions and he says, you know, do you believe in all the doctrines of the church and will you proclaim them? Part of me wanted to have my fingers crossed behind my back. The problem was is that all the clergy behind me would have seen that. Love believes all things, exercises faith in all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
But right now, this love stuff doesn't sound particularly appealing to me. I mean, I thought it was mushiness. Love. No.
I've talked about the definition of agape here many times. There are three basic words that are used in Greek for love. Eros, philia, and agape. All right. Now, eros is the easy one. It's the one we all know about. We get the word erotic from it. Now, sometimes it's translated lust, but that's really not the case. It's sexual love, physical love. And it's not a negative word in Greek. It's a positive one. Philia. Now, sometimes this is translated as like. But even that is wrong, just like lust is wrong for eros. It's more than like. Brian, get up here. I did this in first service, you remember.
Yep.
Now, he even knows the position to take. Right. All right, now. A little lower. A little lower. No, a little higher. A little to the left. Not on the head. Sit down. I'm trying to illustrate philia here, and you are just messing me up. I scratch his back, he scratches mine. Loving because you've been loved. Having a, and this is a positive word, by the way. Phileo is a positive concept. The city of Philadelphia is named after it, the city of brotherly love, sisterly love. Doing things positive for others because positive things have been done for you. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's not the ultimate form of love, and it's not what's being written about here by Paul. Agape love. Considering the needs of another as more important than or essential to your own needs. Greater love hath no man than this, Jesus said, that he lay down his life for his friends. Considering the needs of the other as more important than or essential to your own is the essence of agape love, the highest form of love, and the love that is being iterated here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is that kind of love that is patient and kind, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. It is that kind of love that is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude or irritable or resentful. Nor does it insist in its own way, but considers the way of the other, too, as being important. Nor does it even rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. Wow. This is powerful love, my friends. Now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. Faith, hope, and love abide, these three. Very important. I mean, you know, eventually the prophecies are going to end, the miracles are going to end, the good works are going to end, the preaching is going to end, the teaching is going to end. All that's going to end, but faith, hope, and love abide. These three. They're very important. And the greatest of these is love. Mike Acker asked a great question today. Why? Why is the greatest of these love? Very simply, because love undergirds them all. Love enables them all. Without love, you cannot have faith. Without love, you cannot have hope. Without love, you cannot have any of the gifts from chapter 12. Without agape love, everything is meaningless. All that we do is meaningless. Without love, our ministries, our churches, the calling that we have to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Without love, that's impossible. Without love, you cannot believe in God. It's not what you know, it's who you know. It's how you live in love and loyalty. Remember what Jesus himself said. I've said this again and again and again. It's like my recurring theme now for the last 9 months. Love the Lord your God. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's the first and the second great commandments. Wow. Love. It comes back to love. And the church, where love should be rooted, love should be nourished, love should be flourishing, love should be spread out to all the world. The church, the body of Christ, fails to live it or express it. We're coming into a very contentious year. A year in this nation with politics and elections. And yes, we should pray for those who are running for public office and those who serve in public office and those who serve in police and fire departments and those who serve in the armed forces. We should pray for God's peace and God's grace and God's presence in their lives. We should pray for God's love to so transform us as a people of God, as a nation, as a world. That love would be the means of exchange. But we as the church, if we can't do that first, we can't expect the world to follow, and we don't. We got General Conference in 2016 here in May. And at General Conference, we will hear lots of envious, boastful, arrogant, rude, irritable, resentful, and insisting on its own way people, and many of them are us. Not all, but many. We need to be about love. We need to be about surrendering ourselves to love. And realizing that without love, all that we do is meaningless. And indeed, it's impossible. Faith, hope, and love abide. These three. And the greatest of these is love. The still more excellent way is the only way to live. May we put this message into action in our lives, and may we live as messengers of love for the whole world to see and hear, for our neighbors in our pews to see and hear, for our families to see and hear and experience. Because if we don't start right here, we're not going to do any good outside these doors. Faith, hope, and love abide these three. And the greatest of these is love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let me dwell in your presence, Lord. Let me learn at your feet. I will taste the riches of your word. By your grace, I
been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2016 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.